Kutcher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog.
Is it a racehorse?
Oh, hell no, they got that horse.
Or a bad local band?
Boogie Boogie Land.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich, and it is a tradition like no other. Not the Kentucky Derby. It's bad band or horse or bad local band, I guess is what we're calling it. But, Rich, you have scoured the world of music,
mm-hmm.
and you have found some of the greats.
In the past, we have found, of course, Midget with a Dog, which we have played. There's the 200 Miles to York. And so here's how the bit works. It's extremely easy. Fred, you and John Wallach, I will give you a name, and you will just tell me whether it is the name of one of the horses that's going to be in one of the upcoming big races that's happening, or it is a bad band, okay?
All right. Yep.
All right, so let's start with number one, My Boy Jack.
Horse.
Is that a horse?
I'm going to say horse.
Horse.
Say horse on that one. That would be...
Correct. Which, by the way, I think has 30-1 odds of winning the Kentucky Derby. My Boy Jack, if you want that. All right. The next one, Magnum Moon. Magnum Moon.
I'm saying horse.
Horse.
That is correct. That
I wouldn't
is
have known
horse.
That, but Joe Murray just was saying he was part of his...
Magnum Moon was part of his trifecta?
Part of his
there
trifecta.
There you go. I like that. 6-1 odds.
By the way, overlooked is that Joe Murray says he doesn't follow any horse racing, but he looks at the jockeys.
Yes.
As if, like, by some magic, he's going to understand, like, who the jockey is. I look at the jockey's record. Okay.
Oh, why not? How well the jockey
how
does.
How could you lose?
All right. Next one. Odgen Edsel. Odgen Edsel. Is that a horse or a band?
What do you think?
Ogden, Utah. Band.
I'm going to say band.
You are correct. Let's take a listen to Odgen Edsel.
All right. You're going to have to tell me
it's
the
number
name.
One. It's just it, number. Yeah. It starts not, with P. Starts with
okay,
P.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. Thank you. All right. Here we go.
Dead puppy.
I saw this on The Electric Company.
It was one of those interludes.
It was Morgan Freeman, and he's just skipping through a field of dead puppies.
Dead puppies!
So, I mean, we've all seen this. We all grew up with dead puppies.
Of course.
We know Goodnight Moon, Bye Bye Puppy. We all read them.
Dead puppies! Dead puppies. Dead puppies aren't much fun.
Well, that's hey.
James Stewart. Can he let her James Stewart?
Hey, boy. Hey, stupid.
What are you doing, James Stewart?
I'm going to knock a vase on your head.
don't do that. Why would you do that?
Because I hate them.
I know. You hate
it's
puppies.
It's a whole litter.
A whole litter?
You know why they call them, you know why they call them litters?
Why is that?
Because when you throw the dead ones on the street, okay. You're littering.
All right, James. Kitty litter James Stewart. That's just not a very nice thing to say.
Dead. Hey, whoopsies. I knocked over a box of rat poison.
Okay.
They're treats.
Here, doggy.
doggy, here. It's strychnine. Uh-oh, you have a bowl full of sleeping pills.
All right, he continues.
They don't come when you call. They don't chase squirrels at all. Dead puppies aren't much fun.
Okay, all right.
See, because this song is interesting, because even if he's joking... There's nothing funny about it.
It's a gentleman you don't really want to go to lunch with.
Yeah, like, because you could say, oh, hey, Fred and Rich, this guy's joking around. And to that, I'd say, okay. It's not really Landon.
Dead puppies.
I mean, he's just essentially saying dead puppies over and over again.
Over and over.
And go, oh, well, it's a dark humor. No,
no, no.
There's nothing particularly funny about it.
I don't think I want to meet this guy or be a client of his. So, all right, next one. Tripla. Tripla. Is that a band or a racehorse?
I'm going horse. I'm going band.
Johnny Wall Game. This is indeed a band, although it's not really a band. It's a rapper. And this is one that I was sent from somebody a while back. This is a demo that a gentleman was given. And he ended up forwarding it to me. Somebody who worked for a record label.
Is it S?
No, it's T. It's Tripla. Tripla.
Oh, Tripla. Okay.
Yeah. This is a rapper, and this was a demo that was sent to this person who forwarded it to me.
I'm back again on this for you.
You know it's good when it starts with like electric fart. That's an artificial intelligence fart.
See, it's a robot fart. That's a mean robot fart.
Does not compute. Like, we finally found the sound. An electronic fart.
I'm back again on this for you. 2010, baby. It's coming straight to you.
Who thought that was a good sound?
Is this a dude just taking a full balloon and pulling the tip off it?
It sounds like a pig farting.
You feel this, baby. It's coming straight through you. Wah, wah, wah. Coming back into my life now. Once the beat is made of mine, say what, what, what? What makes you think, girl, that I want you back, what makes you think, girl, that I'd have you back, well, the shit and I did it to me, seriously, my girl, like, what the fuck was that, and all the dudes that you do to me, I'm telling you by now, my dear, you're wasting your time, I'm wasting mine, too, and I know you're trying to work your way around this thing, trying to get me back, and have me there, right?
It's interesting that he has no interest in matching any kind of beat.
It's just like playing three songs at once.
Yeah, I wonder if he even heard the music.
Right,
or if he was just in another room while they did it.
Next to you, what you want from me, what you want from me? Something's holding on, and I don't know what it is right now, but I know she wants me back, because every time she tries to walk away.
This is sad because he's really trying. And enough to send it to a label. This is sad. I mean, he's really trying.
Oh, yeah. He's all in.
Oh, yeah. This is him trying to be really good at rapping.
Something's holding on, and I don't know what it is right now, but I know she wants me back. I know she wants me back. Because every time she tries to walk away, something's holding on, and I don't know what it is.
Something's holding on. It's you.
Right. I don't think she wants you back, sir.
Dramatically pulling her.
She hears this song.
No.
She's probably rather hang out with the dead puppies guy.
Yeah. After she hears this song, she's going to be very concerned about you around a shed.
It is by now, but I know she wants me back. I know she wants me back.
No.
And every time I try to move on to, I keep on stumbling back on you. Back on you.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Well, whoops.
Too much dairy.
By the way, it's the same Ford, it's just backwards.
You don't hear that too often.
No,
with sound.
There's not a lot.
Really, backwards and forwards, it usually sounds different.
Yeah, there's not a lot of things that sound the same backwards and forwards. All right, we'll have more of this later in the hour. Mike Gorman going to join us, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What's up, 18-footer, no good, smart. In traffic, oh! Offensive rebound, knocked to the ground as he reverses it up and in.
Yeah, somebody give me a Cheeto sandwich.
He doesn't need two hands. He doesn't need 10 fingers. Marcus Smart is going to make Marcus Smart plays.
I mean, that's against Embiid, the big 7-footer. Compete. compete, young man. Just compete.
It was funny. We had Sean Grandy on to kind of try to explain, among other things, what Cedric Maxwell was saying, and you can tell that there's no communication between the two of them. Like, Cedric Maxwell just yells out Cheeto Sandwich, and Sean Grandy goes in a completely different direction. There is not a whole lot of...
He knows when to pause. He knows when to let Cedric just say what he's going to say, fill in the donut hole, and then he knows when to go right back to what he was saying. Mm-hmm. Because how do you explain Cheeto Sandwich? And Grandy could not yesterday.
And then also, what is Grandy... I don't know what Grandy's talking about.
What do you...
The fingers and the hands and everything like that.
In that clip right there?
No, yeah. When he was trying to describe it to us yesterday.
No, I don't know what Grandy's saying in that clip either.
Oh.
About fingers, and it doesn't take
fingers. He was talking about the thumb.
Because he hurt his thumb, remember?
Thumb that Smart hurts. Oh. He doesn't need all 10
fingers.
That's
a long way to
go. He took the wrap off, and then he put it back on.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Well, very good. Mike Gorman is the television voice for the Boston Celtics.
Who, by the way, even though he didn't call the game, got a decent amount of FaceTime on television.
Hell of a seat you had there, Mike.
Did you know that? Were people saying that they saw you all over TV?
Yeah, my Twitter thing was kind of alive with that, yeah.
Yeah. You were right behind Danny Ainge when he freaked out
really
at one point.
Yeah, Danny threw the ball at the official. I thought he was going to get a technical foul.
I'm not kidding you. That was for a moment there, were you like, hey, maybe we need to kind of calm down a little bit?
Yeah, Danny threw a line drive ankle high at the guy. So he got kind of a dirty look, but the official thought better of it and turned the other way. Yeah, Danny's really into the game. He's really into the game.
See, I thought Heinsohn was the only one that used to sit next to who believes he's still playing at the time.
No, Danny is very involved. Danny obviously is a bishop, I believe, in the Mormon Church. So he's not a guy who's about to go cursing, but he will come up with some amazing digs. Like, you know, he'll say things like to the official when the official's like 5 feet away. How did you get this job? How did you get this job? It's really very amusing.
So. He's never slipped up. There's never been a swear, because that would be an amazing amount. He's like a walking thesaurus. If he can get through yelling at people and being that angry without swearing, it's quite an accomplishment.
It is, and I can honestly say I've never heard a word pass his lips that you couldn't have your mom say.
All right, well, that's a one-way ticket upstairs.
That's right. He's getting the fast.
That's right.
You had a second-row seat to what was just a nuts game. I mean, I don't think anybody expected it to turn out the way that it did. You know, possibly a Celtics win, but for there to be a Geno time at the end, I don't think even the wildest of Celtics fans could have imagined that. What did they do right, and is it something that you believe they can continue to do in Game 2, or was it just the shots went in and the other teams didn't?
It is a make-or-break, make-or-miss league, as Doc used to say all the time. But that aside, it really comes down to Brad Stevens again. I mean, Brad has figured out a way for individuals to have their best individual performance within the framework of the team. And it just, everybody has bought into it. Everybody continues to have career playoff highs, personal highs within the team system. And as long as they keep doing that, the parts really become kind of interchangeable. And we've seen that. Guys just step in and step up. Terry Rozier being a great example of a guy who stepped into an opportunity and has played himself into... Everybody I talk to now says this is a starting NBA point guard on a good team.
Yeah, and what was amazing was the way that they defended the perimeter, too. I mean, because that's the reason they won. They shut down the three-point shots in that first series at the Sixers against the Heat. They murdered the Heat from three, and I believe in game one it was only like 19% that they ended up shooting. Is that something that you believe, maybe to not that extent, but do you believe that they can have somewhat close to that same success in game two, or is that something easy to scheme around?
No, I think they'll have similar success. Here's the thing with Philly, from where I sit, is Simmons is going to get his rebounds and assists and a certain amount of points, and Embiid is certainly going to get his points. You can't let Redick or Bellinelli beat you with a 20-plus night, or Covington. Those are the guys who want to go out there and shoot the threes, and I think the Celtics did a real good job defending them, and as long as they keep Redick and again, Bellinelli, 10 to 11 points as opposed to 18, 19 points, they have a real good shot in this series, despite the injuries.
We talked a lot about Ben Simmons yesterday, Mike, and what he is now as opposed to what he can be in the future. And obviously, Simmons will never take a three, at least not right now. But we've discussed what he might be in the future, and we kind of had an argument around the room as to whether or not Simmons will be a generational player, a top 10 player in this league eventually. What do you think?
Oh, I think he will be. You know, he's just got too much size and too much ability at the point guard position to not become a great player. No, he's going to be very good. He will develop a shot. You know, it probably, you know, Hubie Brown used to say all the time, you can take a bad shooter and make him average. It's very difficult to take an average shooter and make him great. So they can get Simmons to become an average shooter. He becomes an average shooter. He's an all-star, without question.
It's amazing that no one has tried to introduce that to his game yet. I mean, you would think that at the
point we needed it. Not yet.
Well, I mean, but in today's NBA, I just think that this is the discussion that we had, is can you be a top 10 player unless you're Shaquille O'Neal and not have a three-point shot? And I just think that the game has developed in such a way that, I mean, Al Horford, the guy, he had to start shooting threes. Hell, Aaron Baines is shooting threes now.
But on this team, with all the shooters around him, he doesn't need to.
That's a different argument.
Plus, he's a 6'10 point guard who's incredibly athletic. I mean, he could be an extremely average shooter and still take over games.
And he's left-handed, which, you know, is just a huge advantage.
All right, so when it comes to Marcus Smart and what he was able to do, I mean, once again, I was telling John, I love Marcus Smart. My God, he changes the whole tone of the game.
But
the four worst words that you can hear in a broadcast is Marcus Smart for three. and I realize that Brad Stevens encourages all of them to shoot and when they're open, but at some point, do you think Brad might say, you know, maybe you make the next pass if you're at the three-point line and that's what you got?
No, I don't think he does. I think that's why these guys love playing in the system so much. They have a chance to individually thrive. And, I think Marcus keeps shooting. And Marcus needs to be able to take those shots in order for him to be able to do the other things he does on the court so he gets into the flow of the game as opposed to interrupting what he would feel would be the natural flow of his game. So, no, I don't think they try to stop Marcus. I do think that's kind of funny about the four words you don't want to hear. But you're going to hear them.
Is anything that you've seen over the past week and a half or 2 weeks changed your opinion about if Danny Ainge indeed had to make a decision whether to keep Terry Rozier or Marcus Smart, which way you would choose?
No, I haven't. That's a problem they know they're going to have to deal with. They're not going to deal with it right now, obviously, or speculate on it. But right now, that's a very, very difficult choice to make, extremely difficult choice to make.
Who would you choose?
You got to ride the team plane.
You got to look these guys in their face.
I'm going to dodge that because I would do everything I possibly could to figure out a way to keep both. But I don't know. I need to get Mike Zarin on the phone here. I don't know how that all works with the salary cap and who you would have to let loose.
I was team Marcus Smart for the longest time, but man, Rozier's making it really tough.
He's so special on defense.
Yeah, Rozier's no slouch. You know, the other thing about Rozier is he doesn't.
You can't compare the two of them.
Well, of course not, but he doesn't. You know, Rozier, obviously, prolific scorer. He's become that way. And on top of that, he doesn't turn the ball over.
I know, but you have Kyrie Irving, who's going to take his spot and force him to play 10 minutes a game.
Understood. It's a tough decision. You're right, Mike. I would probably at this point still say Marcus Smart, but who the hell knows? It's everything changes.
I think it's going to be a pretty creative offseason, though, in that sense, because if you all of a sudden have everybody healthy on this team, you have a real minutes issue as to how you divide it up. And so, again, when they put down the 12 players that they want to have on the court in uniform next year and everybody's healthy, they have some difficult decisions that they have to make.
All right, adjustments for Brad Stevens for tomorrow. You have to figure Philadelphia will figure out a way to be more prolific from the perimeter. So what does Brad Stevens do to counteract that?
I think if you're bad, you just do more of the same until such time as they make some adjustment that you have to adjust to. You know, this is probably a lot closer coaching matchup than we had in the last round. So you'll see a lot of changes over the course of the series. These are two coaches who really know what they're doing out there. So that's going to be interesting to watch. But right now, I don't do anything if I'm bad because until such time as I'm losing on the scoreboard, I keep doing what I'm doing.
Okay, so you were there, obviously, Game 7, and you were up close for this Game 1. What, from what you saw from Jaylen Brown and his situation, I know that apparently he was begging to play in game one and trying to get his doctors on the phone, according to reports. What do you feel was going on, and do you believe he's going to play in game two?
I do think he'll play in game two, and I think they were just being cautious, and I think that's wise. You know, he's young, he's enthusiastic, he feels he can play through stuff. That's what they have these massive medical staffs to travel around with the team for. When it's their turn, you got to listen to them, and they said no, and the Celtics went along with it. But I think he plays tonight.
I hate that I'm bringing this up, but I'm going to have to bring it up today and tomorrow. I hate it. But if they win this series and they end up playing through the end of May and maybe possibly the beginning of June.
But Danny and I keep coming on the show.
Is there any chance, any whatsoever,
no,
that you believe Gordon Hayward would come back?
I forgot about old Gordon.
I know, but I hate that I'm asking it, but this is kind of becoming a point where, my God, it's going to be June.
I think that's an excellent point on your part. I think that's an excellent point. I've kind of gotten off of that. I told you guys and paid the price on the internet for saying that I thought Gordon was coming back. I see Gordon sitting behind the bench. That's a major step forward. He's in the building now anyway for games. Not just because they're going to put on a uniform.
It is weird. If it hits June, at some point you go, all right, well, this is kind of, you know, even like the people who were saying the latest he would come back, they were all going, oh, well, you know, May is probably the latest that he would be able to do it if they even make it that far. But, I mean, it's now looking at the point where it could be realistic that this team could be playing that late. So,
yeah, no, you're the first one, Rich, who's really brought that out. And that's a great point, because if he's not ready in June, when's he going to be ready?
Yep.
Well, there, you know,
September,
there you go. October.
For the beginning of the season.
Beginning of next year.
They'll just still go, hey, you haven't played in a really long time. Here you go. Welcome to the court. Listen, Mike Gorman, it's always a pleasure. And
thanks, Fred. Hey, those two guys you had on earlier, that's good. You do a little segment on that.
I love those guys.
Well, Lifshad's voice makes it all the worthwhile. Because even if you don't, first of all, they look like degenerate gamblers. And second of all, that is the voice of a.
You look like they've been on the couch for a long time.
Yeah. That is the voice of a degenerate gambler. All right. Well, listen, Mike Gorman, if you ever want to come in, we'll gladly introduce you to those guys. And you can go out and have a night of it. We appreciate the time.
All right, talk to you.
I appreciate it.
It's Hayward Degenerate Gamblers with Joe Verunder Murray and Dan Big Shats Lifshats.
They were upset, you know, because they had been spending it talking about the podcast they wanted to put together, and they were thinking about a name, and Joe Murray said, yeah, we spent about a day just thinking of names, and we came up with 98.5 over under, and then Rich comes in and like thinks of three names immediately that were better.
That's what I do.
I know, that's exactly what I said.
I'm the name maker.
It's what Rich does.
The kingmaker, baby.
Yeah,
I'll give you a name; it'll stick for the rest of your life. Not like Maz does with Sarge
and Beetle
right.
Sarge and Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we will have the headlines when we come back. We'll have more of the. Band or racehorse or bad band.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is it a racehorse?
Oh, hell no, they go that horse.
Or a bad local band?
Boogie Boogie Land.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The Kentucky Derby and the Oaks. The Oaks, baby. That's the big one. Everyone's going to the Kentucky Derby that I know, every single person. And, Rich, you have scoured for years. You have scoured record labels and gone hunting for terrible bands. And so what happens is that Rich will read the name of something, and it will be either a horse or a bad band. It's up to John and I to guess.
Our listeners are unbelievable. You know that second one that we played, the rapper? Can you go back to that real quick?
Yes.
Called Tripla. Somebody found a music video that this guy made for it, and I just tweeted it out, and it is glorious. Play some of that.
I'm back again on this for you. 2010, baby. Coming straight to you.
It's
you feel this, baby.
Some kind of doughy guy.
coming back into my life now. What's the beat? It's made of my world.
He's like
I
rapping.
Like there's subtitles.
Want you back? What makes you think, girl, that I have you back?
Is that in the United States?
He's like leaning on a fence.
He loves chain link fences and being in a hole in the ground.
Well, suffice it to say, the video's not very good.
No, it's just, but it's everything. It fits the quality of the song,
including subtitles, because that's what you want.
Right, because you can't understand what he's actually saying.
And by the way, the subtitles are in English. It's not like they're in another language.
Right. And somebody found, and by the way, the video is titled Worst Rapper Ever. Okay, so I'm sure that he's very proud of that. But I want to thank our listeners.
Yes, he found that sound.
Yes, he does. Okay, so I will go ahead and give you a name. You tell me what is a band or a bad local band or bad band or is it a racehorse, okay? AJ.
Fred? That's a pretty lame horse name, so I'll say band.
I'll say band.
That's correct. All right. You ready? You can play it. It's titled Try.
Okay. Here we go. That's the sound. That is the sound. What do you want it to sound like? That everything's covered with pillows.
It's called Boombox in the Other Room.
Yeah. Let's just. What are you going for? Just like almost inaudible. Again, if you're joking, it's still bad.
I don't think this guy is joking.
Even if he is, it doesn't matter.
This is the Silence of the Lamb guy has a band.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, let's hide our junk.
Right. Calls over his friends.
I love butterflies, whatever the hell was in there.
It's Larry Flint all of a sudden.
Hey, this is an album by Dead and the Sex Tape.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
Yes.
I don't think he's kidding either. This sounds like a band that was looking for a singer, and they said, we found him.
You're the guy.
You're the guy.
You're hired.
I'll do the whole dance with my junk behind me. This is called the Do the Fruit Salad. You gotta do it for... Look, there's nothing in front, and look at the back. That's where it all is. Fruit salad.
Oh, wait. Was she a great big fat person?
Yeah. You gotta tape it sometimes.
Trying to harmonize. There's another guy trying to harmonize with just a mess. Well, what note goes with
they have ball gags in their mouths, so it's a little difficult to enunciate.
That's right. The bassist is the Gimp from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And the lead singer is the dude from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, one has
just tucking it.
One has a leather mask on, a leather hood on, and the other guy's got a...
it's got the ball.
Oh, I forgot to unzip the mouth again.
What the lotion in the basket?
Oh, well, that was not good.
Well, that's not nightmare material.
No, that is not good at all.
Not in the least bit.
Not a good song.
All right. Is this a racehorse or a band? Young Boy.
Well, I would hope it's not a racehorse.
Yeah, no,
that's a band. Yeah, I would hope that that's... If I have a horse that's worth millions of dollars,
yeah.
I'm going to guess I'm not naming it Young Boy.
That's right. That is correct. All right, well, let's take a listen to Mr. Young Boy, shall we?
Don't
and lust is due to crime. To that you see big behind. Como soñamos what I say to beauty round my way. Bang the cops, what you say to simply make my day. Through my bonito, nice and slow. I found a deco way down low.
I don't even have anything to say.
This song's called Do Me. It's a very sexual song.
Freak me, freak me.
I got nothing to say. Just that. You go, young boy. You go, young boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One sounds like the guy in the hole. The other one sounds like the guy out of the hole.
That's right. Would you like to hear his Young Boy's follow-up single? That's the next one.
All right, so this is the...
Yeah, that one was called Do Me, and here's a new one.
This is Jermaine Wiggins.
Yeah!
Theme song.
It's the Wiggy theme.
And I could see him doing this.
Yeah.
It's about the same quality. You know when you're worse than a book that teaches kids how to read? That you're not doing a good job. Can you picture him like on the bus, like 98 mile with a notebook?
He's back to the lab again, yo. Wiggy wiggy wah.
In a wiggy wiggy, wiggy whoa.
With your wiggy wiggy whoa.
Parmesan sandwich. You gotta get a good Parmesan sandwich. There's a lot of Mike behind the mic Callahan to this one.
You took the quality of the audio.
Yeah, and just like it gets kind of like, you know, hopping. Gets a little bit like a jukebox in the 50s.
Sample.
Hi, Joe, the wiki wiki wah.
Well, there you have it. I mean, how many ways can you rhyme whoa?
This is the winner. Hands down.
The Buffalo Bill Band.
That's AJ, right?
That's AJ.
The group, name of the group is AJ?
Okay. Hey, that was great. Number one with a bullet.
And the bassist through his ball gag.
Excellent idea. I think we do the chord change after the verse, second chorus. Good job. Hey. Music to kill by. Wiggy, wiggy, whoa.
It's a wiggy, wiggy, whoa.
We will return in just a moment, and hopefully you can get that song out of your head.
You're listening. We all have our morning routines.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go.
The breeze man was in and I began to wail. The man put the ampidu and began to swing. You should have heard Rose Knight in our terrible sing. Let's rock. Let's rock. Everybody holds their look. Won't dance to the alehouse rock. Number 4-7 said number 3. You could tell about every did say. I'm sure he belated company. Come and do Yale House rock with me. Let's rock.
Kenny and Five, the Sports Hub, Mary Toucher and Rich.
I told you that there was a Chinese restaurant down like a mile from my house where they would be open until like 3 a.m, even though it was completely illegal, and there'd be like families in there at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and like kids doing homework and stuff.
Yeah.
And they had karaoke, and we used to go there, and they obviously didn't really care about carding you. And they got shut down for reusing rice.
Oh, you told me about that. They were taking it off of plates of the people who had not finished and then just putting it back on other people's plates.
Right. So they had, and I can only imagine how exorbitant the cost of rice is, white rice. I mean, you could save literally pennies by reusing the white rice. It kept getting shut down, but I think because of all the underage drinking, they kept opening it up again because you couldn't get rid of that business. Do you ever have a dog that got spayed or neutered?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Neutered.
Yeah. My dog just got spayed, and now she has the cone on her head.
The cone of shame.
Oh, yeah. Which is the most depressing thing on the planet.
Yeah, yeah. Is she trying to scratch, or is she still drugged?
Well, she was drugged yesterday. She just sits there. That's not, I didn't even put that up.
The worst is when they don't have any spatial, and they bump into things, like trying to go into her cage or her crate.
Well, it's she awful. Can't, like, lay down right.
Right.
So she has to put her, so my wife slept down on the couch last night, so it was heaven on earth. There was no one else in
wow.
bed.
Wow.
Yeah, she slept downstairs and the dog slept on her. So hopefully we can ride this out for a little while.
How long is the cone in place?
Till next Friday. Yeah, so next
it's a
Friday.
Long haul, man.
Well, it can be 2 weeks, and then she yeah. can't really do anything for a little while after that.
Man.
It's so expensive to get a dog here. You get a. So it costs. This dog is just a mutt from Tennessee. It's like a garbage dog. It's from like a trash can.
It's the brown dog that you see at every single shelter.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's a wonderful dog, but I mean, she really is. But she, it was $400 for her. $400 to adopt a Tennessee garbage dog.
Mm.
Then you only get a $50 refund. For making sure that they got spayed or neutered. And it was $600 to get her spayed. In Atlanta, Feeney cost $50, and it was free to get her spayed.
I thought there were organizations that did that for free because it was like, you know, like a service.
Well, they're not doing it for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I did, once again, I haven't had a dog neutered in 20 years.
But this is this is a great dog, and I'm very happy we have the dog. She truly is a great dog. But $1,000? Like, what was the other option? Like, you know, like, your price would be... So if someone goes there, and they're like, I want to adopt a dog, and you obviously have to get him spayed or neutered, like, you're outpricing them?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this isn't, you know, a purebred.
Dude, I went and I got a rescue dog, a bulldog, and little did I know, they said that the knees were having issues. I had to get 2 brand new knees put in the dog. Oh. And first of all, you can't do them like both at once. So what you do is you get the surgery for one, which is not cheap. And this isn't something we expected. We thought it was just, walk slowly, and that was the whole case. But no, we had to, you got to the point where we just couldn't walk. So we just used the bathroom while sitting down, and it was a horrible mess. So we went and got one knee, and then it takes like a month of rehab where you have to take your dog to this place that's got like a treadmill
underwater right?
Yeah. And they put like a life vest on it, which, by the way, it's funny as hell watching the dog almost like walk on this treadmill, like almost drowning, like it's like completely stressed out. So you had to do that for like a month for that thing to get strong, and then you did the other one. That dog might have cost us, just in like maintenance, might have cost us as much as a car.
Really?
Throughout its 8 years that we had it. Wow. Mary and I told it up. I was like, I bet just the knees and the rehab for the knees probably cost $10,000.
Wow.
I think each knee was about $2,500 to $3,000. And then all the rehab and stuff that goes with it, I think it ended up being almost $10,000. We got pet insurance. That didn't work.
No,
they found a way around it. That was a waste of money.
Peter, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
So, Fred, when you paid that initial $400, yeah, it seems pretty stiff, but that essentially goes back to the rescue to help them, you know, rescue more dogs out of the South. I mean, you live down there, so you know how it is with this.
I understand that, but it just seems like a lot. And then the $600 to get them spayed, it just seems like an awful lot for like a dog that no one wants. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
It for sure is. But some rescues are obviously better than others. But there are some around that will spay them before they bring them up to New England, so that you can avoid that, and they're a little more appealing. But I know, I think I heard Rich say that you had the dog insurance and it didn't help you at all.
Nope, it didn't. We got screwed.
Oh, see, I've had nothing but good luck with it, and it has literally saved me thousands of dollars. And it sounded insane. My wife told me, hey, you should get insurance on a dog. I'm like, I think you're out of your mind. But the amount it saved me has been incredible.
They offer it through the company.